University life can be a bit of a maze, right? Don't worry. Campus Chronicles is here to be your guide. It's your go-to spot for tackling the big questions, sharing a laugh, and everything else that comes with navigating campus life. Think of it as the resource and the sounding board that I wish I had back in my uni days. And I am so excited to share it with you. My goal is to leave you feeling inspired, energized, and ready to chase after your boldest dreams. Let's jump in. Hello, hello, everyone. I am delighted to introduce you to the guest that we have today. His name is Noble, and he is from EQ Gangster, which I think is a fantastic name. Noble, thank you for being here.
Brooke, I'm super, super stoked to be here and have a chat with you about emotional intelligence.
And like we were saying before we hopped on, emotional intelligence is one of those topics that anyone can use to uplevel their life, whether interpersonally, relationally, or professionally. But before we go there, I want to know who Noble is.
So Noble is an old dude with a dope beard and dope tattoos wearing a Buc-ee's hat because I love me some Buc-ee's. So I've got an awesome wife. We've been married forever. We got a 17-year-old kid. She does welding 3 days a week at a college class welding. I do Brazilian jiu-jitsu, also known as combat cuddles, snuggle struggles, murder yoga, or aggressive laundry, and also love to shoot and love people and love learning and growing. And I love Jesus.
I love all of this. And I love learning and growing too. So I think we're going to have a lot of fun with emotional intelligence. But before we get into it, how do you define it in your words, in your reality?
Getting your emotions to work for you instead of against you. Number one, that's phase one. Phase two is to acknowledge, identify, process, and manage not just your emotions, but the emotions of others in order to make the best decisions for all parties involved.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, so important personally, relationally, professionally, in your career. You guys are going to be able to use this for everything.
100%. That's what the mission statement of our company is, to transform leaders' lives at work and at home. So it's like a good double-edged sword. Having a higher emotional intelligence absolutely will impact and benefit your life in every single area of your life.
Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons that I wanted to have you on is because emotional intelligence is a huge part of my journey. I want to know how you got interested in it.
That is always the million-dollar question. So the bluff bottom line up front is I have been emotionally dysfunctional for 4 decades of my life. I yelled at my wife 3 times in 3 weeks, and she said 3 things. Number one, don't ever do that again. Number two, you've never done that before, which means number three, you have more issues than Sports Illustrated. Went to therapy. My therapist has said, Noble, let me introduce you to 2 revolutionary new concepts called feelings and emotions. And I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. He said, I know. That's why we're talking. I got on a very intentional emotional fitness program for 2 years. Every area of my life started to change and improve. My faith, my marriage, my parenting, my finances, my fitness, my business. I told my wife, I said, babe, has this all been because I've been emotionally dysfunctional? I've got to start a podcast to share the junk in my trunk so that, because I have to know that there's other nobles out there as clueless as me emotionally, maybe I could help shave off decades of their emotional dysfunction by them listening to my dysfunction beforehand. And so started a podcast called EQ Gangster. It's on YouTube and all the different podcast platforms. And that's where I share my very raw, transparent journey of the stuff of my junk in my trunk and my lessons learned.
And you know, one of the things about emotional intelligence, to the point that you made, because you were talking a lot about your personal relationship, is it creates so much distance between you and other people. And so many people are lonely in the age of social media. Emotional intelligence and the lack of it only makes that worse.
Well, let me give you some very specific examples to tell you some of my very specific dysfunctions. So I have been a raging people pleaser addict, toxic positivity, emotionally needy, emotionally codependent, self-sabotage, self-hatred, self-condemnation, fill in the gaps, controller, manipulator, like fill in all, like I'm telling you, and I've got overeater, food was my food addict. I mean, name it. I have probably had a dysfunction towards it or an unhealthy relationship around it. And it wasn't until I started to take ownership of my emotional immaturity, to be honest with you, because I was literally a 40-year-old emotional 5-year-old. If you've never seen an adult throw a temper tantrum, that was me 3 days a week, because inside I was a 5-year-old in a 40-year-old body. And so all you know, your audience, learn this stuff now so that you don't end up like me and you can save 20 years of dysfunction and heartache and lack of maybe potentially professional success as well. But you can be emotionally agile and emotionally healthy and have emotionally healthy relationships and emotionally healthy boundaries, and you feel comfortable in conflict, all kinds of stuff when we get emotionally healthy.
You know, there's a specific topic I love to talk about, and it's self-abandonment. So for me, something that I really struggled with was I would say I was going to do something, and then I would break that promise and fragment my own trust. So for me, it wasn't these big, huge issues. It was the day-to-day, what I was saying to myself, backing out on myself, not being a trustworthy person, and cultivating and building that relationship for me. And when I think about how much I self-abandon, I'm so very, very sad for the choices that I made. That was one of the things that catapulted me towards more emotional intelligence, because I was competing in pageants and I could not say that I did not want to wear a dress. It was too hard for me to say that, even though I knew I didn't want to wear it. And so it's that self-abandonment, I think, is what catapulted me towards changing.
That's right. That's great. And so we all have our journey. That was great. I really appreciate you sharing and that vulnerability that you shared as well, because I know that has not been easy for you. So thank you for sharing that. Here's another massive, massive lesson. And I share, again, my journey on different social media platforms. So another big one recently that it was given was, we develop our self-worth and self-image in our childhood. So for me, I developed my self-hatred and self-condemnation and self-sabotage between the ages of 10 and 17 years old. And what happens is, once we start to build that, those narratives, those stories, those potentially inaccurate playlists, those Spotify playlists that are emotionally unhealthy, those iTunes playlists that are emotionally unhealthy, the rest of our life, we will begin doing research to confirm those inaccurate narratives that we built when we were kids. So what I tell a lot of people now is this: it's not if your childhood is affecting you, it's how, in what areas, how frequently, and how extreme is your childhood affecting you.
And I think too, with this emotional intelligence conversation, I love that you're having it as a man, not to take it in a gender direction, but I don't think that we always have this conversation around how it's impacting the way that men and women view each other.
100%. I just did a workshop this morning with a group of men that I asked them. I said, well, as soon as I mention this word, I want you to describe it. Everything that you've heard or thought about this word, write it down. And the word was emotion. And 98% of what they shared about the concept or topic of emotions was negative. So how often and excited would we ever get about growing and learning in a particular area when we only have a negative file for it? So if we can realize that, for me, it's another thing I tell a lot of people, emotions is just data. There's no such thing as good emotions and bad emotions. That's not accurate. It's like saying good numbers and bad numbers. It's just numbers. There's uncomfortable and comfortable emotions, pleasant and unpleasant emotions. But I am so thankful that my car has a fuel gauge that says E on it. It says empty. I want to know when it's time for me to go to the gas station. most of us don't know how to read the dashboard of our own lives to know when our certain emotions pop. Oh, okay, these are signs. This is information. This is data that I need to pay attention to that my body is trying to tell me. So rather than run from these emotions, learn from these emotions and what is your body trying to tell you about where you're at in your life in that moment?
I love having this conversation so early, I think, because I wish I would have learned it earlier. Why do you think it is so important to start developing emotional intelligence at a young age? And if somebody's not sure where to start, where do they start?
Great, great question. So one is this. I have a business where I work with adults who have not learned these lessons. And it causes, so it's not everyone is aware when they see emotionally intelligent or emotionally healthy people. Everyone knows the pain of working with somebody who doesn't have it. I'm going to say two words here that everyone is going to be able to relate with. Toxic leader. Everybody knows what that experience is like. It is no fun. And largely, I would say more often than not, a toxic leader is due to low emotional intelligence. So you don't want to be that person. That's a very lonely, bitter journey for someone to be on with low emotional intelligence. Okay, now where do you start? So again, grace, patience, and curiosity. And I've got a little acronym. I call it Gorilla Aped. Gorilla Aped, G-A-P-E-D. Gorilla is gratitude. Every day, start with gratitude. There's been research and science expressing 2 to 3 minutes of gratitude, 2 to 3 minutes a day for 3 days, or at least 3 days a week, is the equivalent of taking a pharmaceutical drug to make you feel better, literally just by practicing gratitude. And it doesn't cost anything. So gratitude, start, if you practice your day, just starting with gratitude. And it's a muscle. There's people I've seen like, okay, let's 5 minutes, or we're going to come up with everything you're thankful for. Some of them wrote down 3 things. I'm 50, 60, 70 things. Okay, gratitude. Number two, the A is acknowledge your emotions. What emotions are you feeling? List them, write them down, literally write them down. The next step I do in the acknowledgement piece, there's two other things. One is, on a scale from 1 to 10, how strongly are you feeling that particular emotion? Because we don't feel each emotion with the same degree of intensity. The next part of the acknowledge thing is expand and grow your emotional vocabulary. Just growing your emotional vocabulary helps your brain to figure out the nuances of the emotion that you're feeling, and it helps to label your brain. The label is called name it and tame it. When you can name the emotion, you can tame the emotion. The next part in the A, acknowledge, is identify where in your body are you feeling that particular emotion. Is it your shoulders? Is it your traps? Is it your chest? Is it your belly? Is it your face? Is it your hands? Where in your body do you feel each particular emotion? So that's the A. The next one is P, permission to feel. Give yourself permission to feel these emotions. It's typically 60 to 90 seconds to feel the full weight of an emotion. I literally set my alarm on my phone or watch for 60 to 90 seconds, and I'll start with all the intense emotions first. Get a paper and pen. Let's say my first emotion is anger, which is always a secondary emotion, by the way. Always a secondary emotion. Anger is never comes by itself. It's always preceded by something else. But let's say it's anger. So I'll say, for the next 90 seconds, I'm only going to feel anger. Write a pen and paper. Everything that comes to your mind about anger, write it down. As soon as the alarm goes off, go to the next emotion. Don't let any other emotion butt in to anger's time. Give anger, honor the anger that you're feeling in that moment. Give yourself permission to feel. So go through some of those. That's permission to feel. The next one is E, express your emotion in writing. Journaling is, there's tons of research, tons of science. Journaling your thoughts and emotions, it's got to be both. It can't be one or the other. Research shows that documenting both thoughts and feelings increases mental health. So journaling is a great habit to get into. You don't have to do it 30 minutes a day. Just start baby steps. Start with 1 minute a day. Start with 2 minutes a day. Start before you go to bed, right when you wake up. Just easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Then the last one is D, discuss. discuss with somebody else that is non-judgmental, that is accepting and loving. And one little nuance about that last one is that you want to make sure that they're comfortable with their own big, intense emotions, because if they are, then there's a really good chance they're going to be comfortable with your big, intense emotions. If they're not comfortable with their own big, intense emotions, really good chance they're not going to be comfortable with your big, intense emotions.
Noble, I love this. I feel that I learned so much in just those couple minutes there. And I'm convicted too in the places where maybe I could do a little better. And speaking of being convicted, catching yourself in the moment is hard. It's very hard. How do you practice that?
As you continue the consistency of working on this stuff, it will increase the awareness, number one. Number two, if you can practice working on significant emotional events before or after they've already happened, and just work on the easy ones, work on the base hits. Hey, when me and Brooke were working on that math project together in class, she kind of said something that really kind of rubbed me sideways. Practice this exercise. Go through Gorilla Aped with that scenario so pick a few different scenarios of where you kind of got upset recently. Practice Gorilla Aped when you're not in fight, flight, freeze, or fawn, so that you can start to build more awareness in your nervous system, so that the next time you find yourself in fight, flight, freeze, or fawn, you will have more awareness going into it than you did before. So practice.
Mm-hmm. And you know, a great place to practice that is relationships. Because I'll tell you, a healthy relationship is going to challenge you to do better, to be better, and to behave better. And for university-aged people, these are usually where serious relationships start happening. And I think this conversation is so important for that too.
100%. This is another thing I say about relationships. Every single interaction that you have with somebody, you bring your emotional intelligence or lack thereof with you. Everybody is on the receiving end of each other's degree of emotional intelligence. So work on it daily so that people are on the receiving end of an emotionally healthy you, not an emotionally unhealthy you.
There's something I ask every guest. It's a hard question. I know you're going to soar. If you were going to give three pieces of advice to university age students, they can be about anything. What would those three pieces of advice be?
Take ownership of your growth would be number one. Take ownership of your growth. Number two, there's a great book by a guy named Patrick Lencioni who wrote Five Dysfunctions of a Team. He also wrote The Ideal Team Player. He analyzed thousands of employees and stuff and figured out what were the top three qualities of a team player. Hungry, humble, and smart were three of his qualities. I added a fourth one, appreciative. So so number one, take ownership of your growth. Number two, be hungry about becoming the best version of you. So I brought that up for the hungry piece. Be hungry about becoming the best version of who God created you to be. Three, develop the gifts, skills, talents, and abilities that God has given you to be world class, because you have something to offer the world that no one else has.
Mm-hmm. That is such a good point, especially if you're struggling with your emotions. I know for me, it was easy to feel like, you know, I'm a failure, or, you know, why did this happen to me? I think that was a big narrative for me. Why did this happen to me? So victim was a huge part of my story personally. Developing those gifts and realizing that you do have a specific skill set of talents, you just need to add this emotional piece, is so important, regardless of what, you know, huge, audacious career dreams someone has. You can be the most gifted, intelligent, brilliant person in the room. If you can't communicate that and get that out there and, you know, work in community with other people, you're never going to go anywhere.
Yeah, right. And I would even, kind of like you said, Brooks, you know, some people, have gifts that are like external, but then there's other gifts. Like, for example, somebody that has the gift of active listening. Now, that's also a skill. That's also a skill that everyone can improve in. But when is the last time someone has made you feel seen, heard, understood, or valued? Shoved. I call it shoved. When's the last time someone has made you feel shoved? That is a significant emotional event. If you develop the skill and ability to make someone feel seen, heard, understood, and valued, that's a powerful gift that you could offer the world. And it's not necessarily an external, oh, you see them on stage in front of 10,000 people. You can offer that to your best friend. You can offer that to your mother, your sister, your sibling, a homie. Like that's a powerful gift to offer the world.
It is. It's a beautiful one. You know, I'm starting to feel a little like, oh no, because I got that this morning. So maybe I'm a little spoiled. I don't know, guys. Maybe I am a little bit spoiled sometimes. I have another question. Is there a quote that you live your life by?
So here's the quote that comes to my mind. Unaddressed emotional issues don't get better over time. They actually compound. It would be number one. And the second one is, emotionally healthy people help heal other people emotionally.
You guys, I want to pull out a word, the compound word there. If any of you are studying compound interest, you see how powerful compound is. You do not want these problems to compound. You want your money to compound. We love a good financial situation, but we do not love it when our problems compound. So we want to deal with those early on.
That's right. Love it, Brooke. So thankful for you and your podcast and your time.
Yes, of course. So I want to open the floor. If you, somebody loves you, they feel inspired by you, empowered, where can they go to learn more?
So I'm on Instagram under EQ Gangster or at The Noble Gibbons, and it's NobleGibbens. I'm also on LinkedIn. I'm on the old school ancient Facebook. So anyway, I'm on a few different platforms. And then the podcast, any of the podcast platforms is EQ Gangster, and YouTube also EQ Gangster.
I know. And you guys can slide in there and learn a lot more from Noble, because we just scratched the surface of what he has to offer us. So thank you for being here, for sharing your time and energy with us. We are so appreciative.
Thank you so much, Britt. Great to meet you.
Thank you for joining me on Campus Chronicles. I hope you found our discussion informative, inspiring, entertaining, and fun. We are always working hard to make sure that our episodes are the very best they can be, which means we need your help. If you liked what you heard, remember to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast platform and drop us a review. It helps us to connect with more students who are hungry for success. And remember, the journey never stops. Keep listening, keep learning, keep growing. See you next week for another amazing episode of Campus Chronicles.